Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Could you embrace a cashless society? How many of you today have actually got cash in your pockets as you listen to this, or cash in your wallet? I very often don't have any. Stockholm is leading the charge towards a cashless society. Last year, cash transactions made up only 2% of all payments there, and only cash was used in 1 in 5 shop transactions. But with this change, of course, comes uncertainty as more and more of the Swedish people become increasingly anxious about their country's rush to embrace a cash-free society and what that might actually mean for them. And Sweden's central bank governor has called for public control over its payment systems. And joining me now to discuss this is personal finance journalist Jill Kirby. Jill, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Ciara.
Tell me, first of all, would you be for or against, or is that too black and white a question, the idea of a cashless system of payments?
Well, I think it's a very grey area, and it's increasingly so as we all get more accustomed to using our debit cards, especially as those tap-on payment cards. I'm finding it extremely convenient to have one. I don't know about you. The limit here is 30 euros, yeah. But I'm told that it's going up to 50 euros, apparently. So that means that, you know, a lot of people will be able to do their grocery shopping or pay their grocery shopping simply by tapping it on at the checkout.
It feels remarkably like you're not spending money at all, I find, when I tap.
Yes, it does. And that's why perhaps the higher amounts that you're going to be able to buy with the tap-on could be problematic for some people, because, of course, with a debit card, and that's what the tap-on facility usually is, although it's now moving to smartphones, we're going to have that, and probably many of your listeners already have that facility. It means that you have to be much more conscious, of course, of the money in your account, because that money is coming straight out of the account. It's not like a credit card where you've got up to 56 days of free interest and a payment period in the next month. So I think, you know, it really is, it's something I think we're all going to have to live with. And I think the Swedes are being very sensible in finally recognizing that there are big downsides with this too. And aside from the central bank governor, the other person who's very much at the forefront of this resistance to a completely cashless society in Sweden is a former police commissioner. And he, of course, is looking at the potential fraud, the potential cyber attacks, the intrusion into people's privacy and lives by government, by even foreign governments. And we all know what's happening on that front and how incredibly powerful they are at influencing through algorithms and extremely complex computer activity, the way that we our public data.
What the police commissioner said was quite remarkable. He said, imagine if Putin, I think it was just as an example, I should say, invaded Gotland, which is one of the big islands off Sweden. All he would have to do is seize the payment system and nobody would be able to function. He would be able to take over as simply as that.
We are
vulnerable. I mean, when you look at things like Cambridge Analytica, how much data is mined by big corporations for use, you know, whether it's manipulating a vote or whether it's selling you advertising or whatever it is.
I'm
putting my tinfoil hat on slightly, but I am becoming concerned myself about our vulnerability to big corporations like the banks, who I don't actually trust, being able to plot my every move.
Me too, finally. You know, finally paying a little more attention to all of the, and I'm not a big, I tweet a lot, but I don't use Facebook very much. But I all sorts of crazy ads that seem to anticipate my interest in things are now popping up on my line. I think we're already very vulnerable to that kind of thing. You know, just imagine, even today, the amount of transactions that are done completely online using cards and debit cards and credit cards and just our computers, you know, of purchasing stuff online or paying our bills or paying our taxes. My taxes are paid online, like the revenue want all of us to do. So it wouldn't, I mean, imagine even in our society, which is not completely cashless yet, and certainly not to the level that it is in Scandinavia, where somebody comes along and is able just to basically cut that payment access for the whole country. you really have to wonder how long any of us would continue to get credit at the local shop, mm-hmm. you know, before they would start looking for something like real money. So I think this is a really interesting conversation that needs to go further. But in 2013, government here set up the National Payment Plan, and it's a separate office within the central bank. It's run by a very good guy who's I know quite well, Dr. Ronnie O'Toole, who used to be a chief economist at one of the banks. And it is to get Ireland more prepared for this cashlessness that we're all anticipating and frankly find very convenient. You know, it's easy
and
to
use. And that's why we do it, isn't it, the convenience?
Sure, sure. It's convenient, it's easy, it's simple. I certainly find all of those things, and it's a very good thing for anybody who works in a business. You were a GP once. I'm sure you were sometimes concerned about having cash on your on your surgery site. Pharmacists, taxi drivers who get a tax for the little float they carry on a Saturday night. None of these people have to worry about that when we can pay for those kind of everyday purchases safely and securely through our phones or our debit cards. The problem is, and this is what I think is being anticipated now finally, and that is that the access by government, by revenue commissioners, becomes an awful lot easier too. The one thing you cannot do in this country is not pay your taxes. And the revenue have a lot of powers to get that money from you. But what if somehow, because there was no cash anymore, that all of your money was on, you know, virtual money, it was in a bank account, it was in some sort of secure facility, you thought, run, I might add, which the Swedes are worried about too, by private banking, private banking sector.
You really need to trust, don't you? You really need to trust both
absolutely.
Governments and the people running the banking system. And I think there's an element of us being foolish to trust them completely with our money. You know, in times of shakiness in the economy, things like gold go up in value because people actually want to put their money into something that's very solid that they can actually touch with their hand. And this is a bit like this, isn't it? This is a bit like if you give away all your coppers and all your coins and all your notes, and all of it is just virtual in a system that moves around. Does it really exist?
And also, there's a huge personal privacy issue. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, anybody approves of somebody not paying their taxes but going on a world cruise instead, you know. But you can do that if you have the cash and if the company will accept it that you want to spend it on instead of paying your taxes. But I can see where, you know, governments are saying, hang on a second, there should be, when we are entirely cashless, well, you know, the way to get the money then is to allow the revenue or the government to go into your account and say, that money is there. You are obliged to pay it. We're now just going to take it with the cooperation of the banks. So those are all the issues that have to be addressed. And yet, I don't think anybody really wants, I don't know about you, I don't want to get rid of this convenience of paying for the smaller and some of the bigger items that I want to purchase through an electronic system that doesn't require me to, you know, go to a bank, take out cash, take the risk of carrying £1,000 in my hands to go and pay, you know, for my holiday next year.
Yeah, the Swedes have an expression, I don't know, I'm probably pronouncing it always, but it's lagom, which is just the right amount. And that's what they're saying, they've gone too far here. That it's all very well to have all the plastic and all the electronic payments, but don't go too far or else you will mess up
people. And what they're warning about, which I don't think we have entirely to worry about as much here, is that the Swedes actually trust their government. Their government wants this to happen. It's been facilitating the same sort of process that we're undertaking for the last few years at the central bank. But you know, and that's wonderful for them. We don't necessarily trust our government as much, and I think that's a good thing. But what is happening here, of course, is inertia. And the other side of the Swedish public position is nobody really cares. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's inertia. Who cares? It works. Don't worry about it. And that's something that perhaps we have to avoid as well.
We'll watch with interest. Thank you for that indeed. That is Jill Kirby there, personal finance journalist.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.